You've always got to consider the organization as a system with three levels: the leadership level, the mid-range, and the troops, the practitioners that do the work.
And you've got to communicate and prep all three layers for most things you do, but certainly for surveys.
Hi, and welcome to another podcast on enterprise agility brought to you by the Agility Crew. Our crew consists of leading experts in the industry who give their knowledge freely to invest in the skills we all need. Now let's join our crew for this week's episode.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good grief. It's another podcast. And do you know what? Got the main crew with us again. Thank you very much for all the feedback we've had on some of these masterclasses that we've done. But the main crew around, so that's great, isn't it? So who's here today? It's Ian.
It's Maria from Jersey.
And Eric from rainy Seattle.
I should have said it. It's Ian from UK, shouldn't I?
Start over.
We don't quite know where Ricardo is, because he is supposed to be here and he is available and he's around, but he did hint he was chasing some bears. And it's been a few weeks. I've been in Seville on holiday. Eric, you've started Mad Hive, haven't you? That's where you're working.
I did. I started it. Very excited about my new gig at Mad Hive. How they're evolving their agile practices is something that I'm really happy to be a part of and something I've been craving. So yeah, good things.
Excellent. I thought today would be a good day to talk about surveys and the good, the bad, and the ugly of surveys. That's what I think I want to talk about today, if that's okay. And I'll start with just a quick story and then we can go into it. And the story is when we did some surveys at one of my previous places. And we're doing these surveys that were like attempt to get maturity. And I get it. You want to show value of your transformational journey to leaders. So you've got to see some sort of movement and all of that's really good. But we were doing this thing. And I remember there was a call where the PMO team were putting all these metrics out on a dashboard of all the teams. And some teams were looking good and some weren't looking so good. And there were about 80 coaches on this. And I remember getting really annoyed. And tried to think why it was annoying me so much. And in the end, I came up with this. What I said on the call was, some teams are producing apples and some teams are producing oranges. And your time to market for apples is different from your time to market for oranges. So you can't look at an orange team that takes longer and go, they are less good than the apple team. If you do that, all you do is create poor oranges, or you transfer them all to apples. Literally, you can't compare apples and oranges. And as I said this, there were about three coaches in the office who came over and gave me a hug in the office for saying this. And I did slightly worry that I just stuck my neck out and might get told off later. But it worked. It brings out the real illustration here as well, which is teams take time to grow. And an urge of a leader to almost shout at them to grow quickly doesn't help at all. But that's why I want to talk about surveys. There's a lot we could talk about there. Are you guys happy to pick this subject up for a bit and talk about it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'd love to kick it off with, based on your experience, what are some of the tips you could share about surveys? And I see there's some sections here that we can dive in. There's the prep, the interpretation of results, to share or not to share results, and how do we act on the results? So maybe we could start with the prep area.
I can only say what I understand. And you guys will also know a lot yourself. So I can say some things that I've learned and experienced. I'm not on my own on this. And if you're listening to the podcast and you think, you know what, there's some tips I know, get in touch with us. The show notes include how to get hold of us. One of my big learnings about surveys was that most people have already had surveys done to them in the past in companies, but those are usually HR and they can weaponize. They can become weaponized against you. In fact, I am also a Leadership Circle Profile Practitioner, the LCP system, which is about leadership. And when you do that practitioner course, one of the things they warn you about is HR taking the results of the LCP, where the weaknesses are in a person, and exploiting them in terms of making a development plan for them or even grading them badly at the end of the year and redundancies and everything. So, in fact, to the point where on the LCP program, because that's a survey system, they say you have to fight in some companies to not share the results with HR. You have to fight to the point where sometimes HR say, but we paid for this survey for this leader. We want to see the results. And there is actually a fund that you can go to refund them and close the results down so that you don't have to share them. If you feel in the situation that's going to be there, can come out of it. You've got to be careful. So what I think, therefore, is preparing people for the survey is at least as much work as actually doing the survey and showing the results, pointing out what's going on. But also, I think not just preparing the teams for the surveys, but preparing the leaders for how they need to react to the survey findings, if that makes sense. What do you got?
Yeah, that does. And that was one of the things that I was going to point out, I think, is really key with these things. And what I've seen as problems in the past is that if your communication is off, like you can get really excited about a survey within your team and then send it out into the world, but you missed communicating clearly from top to bottom and from the team level to the C-suite level, what is going on. You could be unintentionally setting yourself up for a lot of heartburn down the road and potentially damaging psychological safety.
Yeah. We said, haven't we, on our courses, you've always got to consider the system to be three levels, the leadership, the mid-range, and the troops, practitioners that do the work.
Yep.
And you've got to communicate and prep all three layers for most things you do, but certainly for surveys.
Yeah.
The other thing I'm noticing in what you're saying is, what is this survey? Ian, you mentioned the leadership one. And HR potentially weaponize them. HR might not need to see that survey results. And so that starts to touch on an interesting subject, is what is the intent of the survey? What is it measuring? Are we measuring the team itself? Are we measuring the team's perception of the levels above leadership's perception? And so do you have any tips on forming the intent of the survey and preparing all the levels based on the intent of the survey? Can maybe they don't expect to see results and they should be happy not to?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think the prep has got to be, this is for you guys to use for your benefit, not for us to create some information that the leaders can solutionize. I'll come back to this point later. Let's make it first now. Sometimes what happens with surveys, because leaders are used to seeing data, they will react to that data. They will see something in the data themselves. And because they're used to that, usually at their level, they will react to that by proposing, sometimes even pushing, a solution. Let me put that into some context. This team seems to particularly have a problem in that area based on the survey results. I want to go in and tell them how to fix it. And that's a really bad sort of behavior in leadership that you want to try and change. The more modern view of leadership is, yes, it's transformational. It's setting the agenda. It's making the bold picture, the future you want to convince people to jump into. And at the same time, almost in the same day, the other stance of leadership should be now servant leadership, which is, how can I help you guys? I have set the direction. I've said where we're going. I've said why we have to get there. I've said what it's about. Now, how can I help you guys get there? Not how can I force you there, but how can I empower you to get there? How can I create the guardrails? How can I create the system? This particular story I started with at one of my previous companies, the immediate reaction from the leadership was indeed that this particular team was poor because their time to market was compared to the other teams. In reality, their time to market was perfect. And what actually happened in that, the dashboard the following month had improved immensely, because instead of it being, this is what your time to market is compared to the average of all the other teams, it became, this is your time to market and this is how it's moved over the last month. So you can see an improvement within a team as opposed to a comparison and a criticism of other teams. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think we're also starting to move into the realm of trust, right? Like when you mentioned a good point that leadership looks at data all day, every day. And so the natural inclination, the habit they have is, ooh, data, I need to respond to this. And I wonder how trust fits in here.
I think that, go ahead. And this goes along with that point about that question about trust too, Maria, and I wanted to ask Ian this, is have you ever, because you mentioned it at the start, people could have had bad experiences with a survey because it was it came out of HR and it was weaponized somehow. Those experiences stick with you throughout your career. You do not forget those when that happens. Right? Have you ever, like when you've set up a survey, just ask people straight out, what are your concerns about the survey?
I mean, you're spot on.
What? Just get that out of the way first. Okay, we wanted this survey, but What are your concerns about it? Is there anything that you're really worried about? And just address those right away so it doesn't just sit there and just fester.
The image I have in my head when I do this is of me, Ian, having baggage from my past, bad baggage, tied to my waist. So I can't travel fast. I've got all these emotional things, these things that went wrong in my past. I bring them into every room. They're invisible to the rest of you, but I've got them. I've got them. I did a survey like this 5 years ago, and that was horrible because the results of that meant I didn't get a pay rise. It's invisible bags, almost, that are behind you. And one of the things a good coach ought to be able to do is create the questions and patterns in order to show that this person can cut that string and leave that baggage behind. For them, for emotionally, for them to move on to, you can't run a marathon if you've got very heavy luggage strapped to your waist. It's not very performant. So I think absolutely, Eric, you need to go, first thing you say, let's do a survey. The second thing you do is tell me about surveys in the past, what's happened before. Yeah. And then a good tip in transformations is start with a survey, because if you start with something, you can compare it 6 months later. But if you tell people that's what you're doing, we're creating a baseline so we can see if we've got some movement over 6 months. This isn't about you. I think you said this earlier, Maria, in the prep, and I think you were spot on. Surveys are rarely about the team. They're more about the context and the systems that they're in the middle of at that moment. And if your transformation job is to change that, then having a view, a measurement to start with is good. But it's not a measurement of the team. It's a measurement of the context and the start point and the baseline. Does that make sense? What do you think of that?
Absolutely. And it's within a very short time frame. And depending on the organization or the department or vertical you find yourself in, we talked about this in the end course, but there's a natural pace within the organization itself. I believe there's also a natural pace to teams and groups of teams or verticals within each organization. And those are not always in sync. And so the higher up you go within leadership, the harder it becomes to understand how is trust actually doing. And so I could 100% empathize with leadership hearing a survey went out, even HR, understanding what are the areas that we need to improve upon within the organization based on these democratic results. And I think the ugly aspect of this too is, to some degree, we need to consider how do we protect the integrity of the survey, because surveys can be weaponized by the team just as much as they can be weaponized by the people who are interpreting the results.
Yes, spot on. If I may say, sometimes surveys, the most threatened by a survey are the leaders. Because if there's something in there about how good the leadership is, and it comes out. In England, there's a great story about this. There was a survey system put together for schools called ratemyteacher.com.
Yes.
The unions in England, they were so appalled at this idea that students could rate the teachers. First of all, it was banned on all of the education networks across the country. Honestly, there was points at teachers' conferences where drug use, cocaine, violence, knives and death was nothing compared to ratemyteacher.com as the horrible issue because of this threat. And I think when people get that kind of threat, sometimes what they do is they look for the rebuttal evidence. So if a survey comes in with leadership has got a low score, but they see time to market is bad, they can rebut the leadership problem that they're probably involved by pushing on the other bits and defending and deflecting, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And so I think we're actually also moving into how do we interpret the results? Assuming trust exists between teams and leadership, and assuming trust might still be growing between teams and leadership. And I think when we talk about transformations, it ebbs and flows that trust. There's areas where trust is very high between teams and leadership, and at the same time, trust being low in certain areas between teams and leadership potentially.
I think there's a balance, because sometimes what can happen is because you are bringing change means you're bringing challenge at times, and challenge sometimes means you could automatically not be trusted, which is why getting the big picture and why we're going through the change and why it's the future of our company is so important when a leader talks. And I'll put it like this, my view, leaders create trust, but the teams maintain it. I'd say the same thing about safety. Leaders have to establish the safety, but then the teams can ruin it by how they behave. And so I think it's very important that leaders establish trust. But if you're a leader, you don't establish trust by saying, can I just have you all in a room, please? I've got a speech. The speech is trust. It's a good thing. Thank you very much. Yeah. How you establish trust is through moments. Imagine a survey has come in and there's an all hands call and someone asks a question about the survey results. And the leader says, yeah, I've been briefed broadly on what they are. I haven't gone into detail because they're your surveys, not mine. I'm going to trust you guys to do any changes you need based on it. After all, you're the guy. And even they, imagine the leader quoting Mr. Jobs and going, Steve Jobs says, I employ intelligent people to tell me what to do, not that I would tell them what to do. Imagine a leader saying that. They are building up their trust capital by saying that. It's nothing to do with the speech. It's to do with actions that are building the capital up of trust. If that makes sense.
That's a great tip for leadership. I think one tip I was poking through, I like to read Lisa Atkins' coaching Agile Teams reg.
I know.
She's wonderful.
But one of the things that she said in there around problem solving is that whose problem are you solving? If it's the team's problem, and you solve the problem as a leader for them, who is actually living with the results? It's the people who have to live with the consequences of the solution that should be able to have a voice in what that solution is. And so a survey is intended for a team, then the team should be generating the solution. If the survey is intended for leadership, then leadership should be generating the solution. And I think that's the bit that I picked up on in your story, Ian, is that HR swooped in and started to solve on behalf of leadership based on these results that were based on the surveys that were specifically intended for leadership.
That's very parental and not empowering when that happens. And
sorry, please go on, Aaron. I'm going to run.
Yeah. I was just going to say that, like that swooping in is I'm going to fix everything for you. It's just totally, it takes the empowerment aspect away that is so important for teams to build trust and efficiency and a healthy work environment and to deliver and build great things.
And ownership.
When you right. got
and ownership.
Yeah.
Exactly. Empowerment and an ownership. If you don't give them that, then you're robbing them of the opportunity to learn. And you're robbing them of the opportunities to learn. And you're robbing them of the opportunities to elevate to a higher level.
Well, learning how to learn.
Absolutely. One of the classic moves of leadership, what the big move for 21st century leadership is to move from solution intent. I am a leader who knows what the answer is. I'm going to tell you what the answer is, and I'm going to then monitor your effectiveness at getting that answer right, the solution intent. A better form of leadership now is problem intent. I'm going to give you a better description of the problem as I understand it at my level, and I'm going to trust you, given your skills, to solve that problem, to own the problem solving, and then get on with problems. So before I say, in the old way, I would say, how are you doing? I've plotted the solution. How are you doing? How are you doing? How are you doing? Have you finished? Have you finished? Have you finished? Now, the first thing a good modern leader should do is say, now you've got the problem. Can you explain to me what you think the best solution is? And from there, go into, okay, and how are we delivering that? When's the best? And this is the servant leadership. This is one of the flips to servant leadership is to go to solution intent. To move from solution intent rather to problem intent. We've got this problem, guys. Over to you. How are you going to solve it? And I think sometimes in surveys, what comes out in surveys can be jumped on as problems when in reality, what you should be doing is saying, okay, here are your results. What do they mean to you? And what are you going to do about it? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Very much.
Yeah. There's just mentioning that point about the idea that who are the results for and teams intrinsically want to improve. I'm not sure that's always true. I think sometimes an alternative thought is systems tend to optimize themselves back to stability very quickly. And if we're bringing change, sometimes we have to continually remind everyone that we're going through an uncomfortable change and optimizing back to comfort is not always the thing you should do. Right?
I'm hearing, should we share results? Should we not share results? What results should be shared? It's almost like a tongue twister. She sells seashells by the seashore.
It's interesting. I've always felt that when I promise to share results, what I've promised to share is a summary. I think of the agenda shift system that I'm used to using these days, and I go, I can imagine going to a leader and going, here are the results. By the way, these aren't Ian's results. These aren't things that I've come up with. Your team are saying these things to you. Here are their results to you. You want to hear what they think? You're getting a score of 62% on your leadership from the teams. And by the way, 642 people filled this click box in. Therefore, you can assume this is a good, powerful thing for you to see. What do you want to do about it?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I think that's such about something that Eric said in the preps. Eric, I'd love to hear your thoughts too, just with your background in journalism and understanding what level of information to communicate. What would you share? How would you craft that? Or help the team or the leader craft that message potentially?
I think one of the, intrinsically what I would do is make sure that it's really clear what we intend to be sharing from the get-go. Like, don't let that be a mystery. Like this, and that's what I, in my reporting background, that's what I do. I like go out and interview a source and I tell them what I'm, doing a study. I'm putting together a series on immigrant labor in Seattle, which is something I did. And immediately built trust and made it really clear what my end goal was. And I think that's something that that would be wise to bring to the surveys. You just got to be really clear about and make it as simple as you can about your intent with the survey in the beginning. And then also say I don't know what the results are going to tell us. We will look at that and saying, these are the results. What do you think? What are you going to do about that? Did that answer your question, Maria? I think it goes back to the communication component. There's so many opportunities for it to go wrong with a survey. And this goes back to Ian's point about really work on the prep and getting it out before you go. And I think, Ian, we were talking before the call, you were talking about how it's like taking medicine. Like taking the medicine is no big thing, right? You put a pill on the back of your tongue, you grab a glass of water down the hatch. But how is that going to affect you? What do you need to do leading up to? Did you need to fast? Do you need to not? Do you need to be prepared not to operate heavy machinery? Do you need to be prepared not to make important personal life decisions while you're on this medicine? What do you need to do? There's a lot of thought and prep work that goes into that one simple quick act. So yeah, I think that clear communication throughout the process is going to be important. This is just not like a one and done in the beginning. It's make sure that when you're getting these out there, it's okay, the survey's going on. This is what we expect. Okay, the survey's over and this is what we're going to do. And it reminds me of some advice I got like long ago from, I think it was one of my high school teachers in English with writing. It's tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell them. And then tell them what you told them.
Power of threes.
Right? Tell them intent before you start the survey. Tell them what's going on during the survey and then after the survey.
This is why we're doing it. This is what we will use it for. This is how we will make sure we protect what's in there. All of that.
I think
exactly.
A key component for leadership too, and Ian, you said this earlier, is leaders are really great at solving problems. And I think what the surveys, if a survey is coming from a team or the middle level, then what's happening is problems are being surfaced to leaders. And I think that given what you've said about modern leadership is moving into leaders making problems clear to teams and enabling the teams, empowering them, giving them the resources to solve it, surveys have this danger of reversing that and activating the leader's heroism, solutioning. And what I like about what you said, Eric, also is it really comes down to crafting the narrative. And so the timeline of a survey, it's not just you're just going to do the survey, we're going to look at the results. The middle portion of tell them again from the writing teacher you had is, I think, whoever is filling out the survey and interpreting the results has to craft a narrative of here's the problem we've identified, here's the steps we're taking to resolve the problem, and hey, leader, here's where you can lean in as we solution. So we've identified the problem. We've hypothesized a solution. And here's what our hypothesis requires to be successful. And maybe what it requires to be successful is just making it clear to leadership and giving leadership the opportunity, given that trust is built in moment, that's an opportunity for the leader to give that team to some space to try to solve their own problems, not swoop in with solutioning themselves, but maybe ask questions about that from a perspective of curiosity. How is that going? Is there anything you think could be helpful to help you guys achieve the hypothesis?
So don't go, imagine me talking directly to a leader and saying, don't pull everyone together in a room and say, here's what you need to do. Pull everyone together in a room and say, this is a really interesting survey result. I wonder what you've made of it. What are you guys doing about it? Because you'll need to solve it. And what can I do to help you with your solution? Is a much better way of doing it, I think.
And I think another...
Yeah, that's the modern...
Go ahead, sorry.
I'm sorry, Maria. I was just going to say that's the modern leadership that we're talking about. That's the modern leadership we're all working to advance. And I think it's worth acknowledging that we have literally centuries of it being the other way.
Oh,
that
yeah.
we are fighting yeah. against. Literally centuries of command and control that we are just smashing into and trying to find a better way to be better humans.
Yeah, 100%. There is this move to servant leadership. The number of times someone says to me, what's that supposed to mean? I don't understand what that means. Does that mean I run around and get everyone coffee? Does that mean I don't do my job and keep it all aligned? Does that mean if people are not doing their jobs, I need to smile at them nicely and give them a promotion? What does it mean? So I think you've got to take all the old leadership styles and questions and the hard questions leaders ask and reorientate them. It's not about not asking hard questions. For the audience, you won't know this because the podcast hasn't gone out yet. I was talking to Pete Townsend in New Zealand a few days ago, and he said, Agile got away with a con. And the con he got away with was somehow the leaders were told you can't ask your usual hard questions about Agile. But actually, you can ask all the same hard questions you should ask. So he has a lovely piece of work he's doing. This is for you guys because the podcast, people will hear this on the podcast, called Agile Performance Control. And his first one, and I love it, is the organization seeing the value of the recent work? It's a fantastic question, isn't it? Fantastic. And I was saying to him, which you'll hear when the podcast goes out, is that's a great question. Forget Agile. Forget waterfall. Yeah. Forget anything. It's just a great question that you've got to answer, isn't it? I think, there's a whole area there of how that needs to go. I would say this, though. If I was in charge of looking at survey results, one of the Agile mantras is transparency. The surveys they're like dynamite. You don't want to put the dynamite in the hands of people who are just going to throw sticks at each other. You don't want to do that. You've got to, it's like a restricted thing. You've got to be able to show that, I think. Yeah.
So how much transparency is acceptable? Because transparency is a pillar within Agile, and too much transparency could lead to a lot of noise instead of signals. Should we respect what the team chooses not to share? And how do we understand that the team choosing not to share that, how does the leader maintain trust and use that as an opportunity to grow trust? But also, how do we ensure that it isn't, or could we even ensure that it isn't malicious or that it is secrecy? Meaning that the team is choosing not to share the results because they're afraid of the response they might receive or how they will be perceived if they give leaders or other audiences the full transparency.
What do you think, Eric? I've got some thoughts, but I'd be interested what you think, Eric, as well.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, okay. Thank you. This is where really good business managers, business change managers, enterprise coaches, whatever we call ourselves these days, this is where we need to be really good at what we do, which is we've got to be able to manage messages to leaders so that if the team, imagine I've got a team, middle layer and leadership structure here. If the team want to keep privacy and feel the safety of adjustment, you must let them. And if a leader said to me, I need to know the results, my answer would be, I'll give you the results. Here's the summary of the results. There's broadly several things that are going well. There's a couple of things they want to work on. They're working on those things now. I think if nothing much has happened in about a month's time, we'll probably have to flash that up as an impediment to you, which you'll see and deal with. But right now, I want to urge you, Mr. Leader, Mrs. Leader, have a bit of patience. Let the team get on with solving it themselves. If you can do that, I think it'll be better for everyone. So I've given the results, pointed out there's some transparency, but I haven't gone in and said, your real problem is George. You know what George said in that meeting? He said, blah, 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 blah. And they'll go, George, you must remember to sack George.
Right. Yeah. No, that's, I think, then, and I was going to say something very similar to that, but you summarize it very eloquently, Ian. It's that you need to scrub the results a little bit and just, and empower the leader to know that they're going to, they have an opportunity to build trust by letting the teams run with the survey results and try to resolve it themselves. And you need to, and I think it's important to let the teams know that's going on, as well as the leaders.
All like, three okay, layers.
We're, so you guys, all three layers, right?
So okay. Must manage and communicate, like, and all three, all the time. Otherwise, whichever one you don't communicate with ruins it for the rest.
Yeah. And that, and I think that's where really crafting your message about how, what's going on with the survey is, that's a lot of work, right? You really have to communicate it clearly. Hey, leader, these survey results are going to come out. We don't know what to expect, but we're going to allow the teams to try to address them themselves and avoid a hero complex for you to feel like you need to come in and soup it. Know that they are working on it with your direction in mind and with the company's direction in mind, right? If there are impediments that they need your help on, we will make sure to surface them to you. But, you know, we're feeling like, from what we see, that most of this stuff that they can figure out themselves, and we're going to see improvements. But like you said, if there's impediments we need your help with,
we'll come to you. Imagine the other way around. I mean, if you went to a leader and said, there's this problem, the first thing most leaders say would be, what have you done so far to try and solve it?
Yeah,
that's
a good
classic
leader.
Question that it's leaders like, ask, which is, don't come to me with the problem, come to me with the solution. It's a classic statement that lots of old school leaders make. New ones understand it differently. You can use that. You can say, before we come to you with a problem, we're going to try and solve it ourselves, because we don't want that dialogue where you say, don't come to me with the problem, come to the solution. We want to come and bring you good news that you can celebrate, not bad news that you're trying to fix. So
That's inverting it, like you just said, like that old, that's still a hard question. That's an old school hard question from the command and control mindset, but you're flipping it and you're finding that that question's value within the servant leadership mindset that we are working so hard to enable.
I think a key here too is, just because we have a problem doesn't mean we need to solve it. Having problems is a state of, is a consequence of being alive. Everybody's got some level of problems, but not every problem needs to be solved. And so I think the takeaway for me from this conversation, and I know we covered a lot of areas, but it's really not about the survey and it's not about the results even. It's about the learnings and the actions and who's owning those actions that are really key. And I think that's really what it comes down to. Just because we have a problem doesn't mean we need to solve it. And if we do have a problem, understanding, do we need to solve it? That takes time to determine. We need to understand, not as a leader, it's not just, what are you doing to try to solve it? Is, what's the blast radius? How big is that problem? What is the consequence of not solving the problem? Acting is a decision. It's a valid decision. And sometimes that's the best thing to do. During COVID, the best thing I can do is not go outside my house, right? Or if I do, wear a mask or something like that. But I think that's really my takeaway, because I've been so honed in. I've been looking at BART analysis and team dynamic surveys, and organizational health surveys, and all these other things. Not about the, it's about the results and who's owning them.
My final takeaway, I'll ask Eric as well. Thank you, Maria. Wonderful insight is, sometimes what leaders do is they make it personal. What I mean by that is they take something in the survey results and they make it a personal thing that they have to solve. Either it's about them or it's an agenda that they want to deal with. And sometimes I feel like I want to say to leaders, it's not about you. You're not the hero, the team are the hero. Let them solve the problem. If you imagine all these huge Marvel Cinematic Universe, brilliant films that make all the money, they're never a single hero. They're always a team of heroes now. And that's why it is. It's because that idea that we work in teams. And anyway, that's my final insight today. Eric, what's yours? We're well over, by the way. 38 minutes is a long time.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to apologize to everyone listening. It is. Hey, Eric, over to you.
Right. Okay. And I think my big takeaway is something that I've been going back to throughout this discussion is just the communication and really being, and that is hard to make sure you've got that good. And you're going to fail. You're not going to do it as well as you wanted to, but you got to keep trying. But make sure that communication through all the three layers about the intent of the survey and making sure that leaders know that they can still ask hard questions. But what we were doing is empowering the teams is the whole goal of it. So just like that communication, make sure there's no gaps, right? Make sure that you're checking your assumptions, because this is an old tactic that so many people have done and it's gone wrong on so many places and people are bringing that to the table. So let's get like air all that out. That's part of the communication and just try to make it as clear as possible.
Super. If you don't, if you don't communicate well enough, people make it up. That's the honest truth. And they rarely make up good stuff.
It's true.
All right. 39 minutes to the audience. You say, sorry, it's a bit long. Maybe you have to pause it and watch it over too, but chunky content, some gorgeous stuff. I feel like we've had a really good fruitcake that's so good and so moist that you can't eat it in one go. You have to eat bits of it and then pause it and try again. And there's so much content in here that's going to set my writing mind off. I'm supposed to be going to the cinema tonight, but I might just stay here and write some stuff on this. There's some brilliant insights. Thank you very much. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Goodbye from Maria. Ian in Sheffield.
Goodbye from Maria in Jersey.
And goodbye from Eric in Seattle.
That's it for this episode. Why not check out our back catalog of previous episodes and show notes? Go to enterpriseagility.info to connect and sign up. See you next time on the Enterprise Agility Mastery Podcast.